Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
That's a magic number. Three. It is. It's the magic number.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. Joining me with this week's Pick 3 playlist is Bob Mankoff, cartoon editor for The New Yorker and author of the new book, How About Never? Is Never Good for You? My Life in Cartoons. Bob, welcome to Soundcheck.
I'm delighted to be here. And I hear you all the time, but I actually had this no idea the show would involve any music at all, because I did tell your assistant, really, I was on another show, and they said, well, what type of music are you like? And I said, I don't like music, which is probably not a good place to start here. But here I am, and I'm thinking that How About Never is Never Good for You. I'm thinking if somebody could just put the right melody to it. I mean, it's already in the Yale Book quotations, on panties. Yeah. I'm thinking, you know.
Well, now, you know, it's funny you should mention that, because one of the classic early New Yorker cartoons that you talk about in the book is I Say It's Spinach, and I Say the Hell With It, which did get set
which became an Irving Berlin song that I sort of, as long as it's me, as long as it's you, I say it's spinach and the hell with it, which was sort of a funny phrase, because I'll just describe the cartoon. It's an old cartoon from 1928. It's done by Carl Rose. It's actually the lyrics. Uh-huh. The caption is by E.B. White. And so there's a little Lord Fauntleroy kid, and he's sitting at the table, and the mother says, eat your broccoli. And the kid says, I say it's spinach and the hell with it, which was sort of a little bit shocking for that time,
sure,
because of the vernacular, the way it's said. But it came to be sort of a catchphrase for, don't try to put this over on me, or don't confuse me with the facts. It doesn't matter.
Exactly.
And that's how it's used in the, and it's interestingly in the Irving Berlin song.
It's sort of the antecedent to Stephen Colbert in
a sense. Yeah,
it's
yeah.
Like, you know, don't give me the facts.
Right. I say it's spinach and the hell with it. And in the Irving Berlin song, it's overcoming difficulties. And I say, there are no difficulties. I say it's spinach and the hell with it.
And your famous cartoon, you know, No Thursday's Out, How About Never is Never Good for You. I have had that cartoon up on my wall for more years than I can remember.
You should have been paying me royalties all those years. But that's right. I'm letting it go. You know, I'm here. I'm nice.
I have always wanted to be able to actually say that to someone.
Well, no. Well, believe me, I get it said to me enough. and they always say it a little bit apologetically. So I'm sure you've heard this before, and I have heard it certainly before. It's an interesting, I've described before in talking about this. You know, cartoonists do lots of ideas, lots of cartoons every week, 10 or 15. So this was probably the last cartoon I did that week. This is back in 1993. It's called The Batch. You do a batch every week, you send it in. If they pick a cartoon, you do a more finished drawing of it. And I didn't think anything of it, really. It just sort of, to me, it was like a snotty wise guy line. A little better because, you know, it was okay, but I didn't think anything of it. Tina Brown, who was the editor at the time, Miss Tina Buzz Brown, you know, said Lee Lorenz was the cartoon editor, called me, and Lee said, we want that cartoon for A issue. A issue is the next issue, and usually it's reserved for cartoons that are topical, uh-huh, and have something to do with it. And I said, I don't understand, Lee. Why does this cartoon have to go in the next issue? Has something revelatory been revealed about Thursdays, or what's going
or
on?
Telephones,
or the telephone, or appointment books, or you know? He said, no, Tina just loves it. She's got to have it, and you know what? Tina was right, because it struck a chord, and it's in. It's in the Yale Book of Quotations, right next to that other famous humorous Mao Zedong. And it's on panties. And thongs, actually. It's on a thong.
Yes, there is a photo of a thong
of
in the book.
Of a thong with saying, how about never? And I finally have got it copyrighted, actually the phrase even, but you can't collect. And they've offered free thongs. I'm thinking, really, how many thongs do you need?
Let me hold that thought for a second. It's a copyright question. Let's get to some music, though. Despite your professed non-love of music,
right,
do you listen to music while you draw?
Absolutely not. Music is, you know, first of all, I have the same taste in, actually, these songs I really like, because they do, and I can even explain why. But for me, anyway, But actually, I have terrible taste in music. I like the absolute worst things. All of a sudden, not that Billy Joel is terrible, but all of a sudden I find myself, bottle of red, bottle of white, and I'll sing it over and over again. And then I'll say, really, what are you doing? Every Billy Joel song says, da-da-da-da-da-da, speeds up, slows down, speeds up, slows down, and everything. But also, I do find that I don't actually have anything on when I'm ideas. I just want to be in my own head.
Right.
Music actually, I'm exaggerating, saying like it is very intrusive to me, very, very intrusive. And I can't get any ideas when I have music. And for the most part, I don't get any ideas if I'm actually, I'll take a break to look at stuff, but that's it.
So the first song you picked for us, sort of in keeping with your theme of I have terrible taste in music, it's Bob Dylan, but it's not classic Bob Dylan. It's like those weird religious records from the late 70s, early 80s Bob Dylan.
But I love the message behind this song.
Which is
you got to serve somebody. He goes through this whole litany of you may think someone and everything, but everybody's got to serve somebody, which means we're in a hierarchy. I mean, I know that from being a Condé Nast. Condé Nast is fine. But in the end, there's somebody you're going to have to serve no matter where you are. There's, I can't say this, but... in other words, every once in a while, everybody, you can bleep it out. Every once in a while, everybody's got to eat. and maybe sometimes it's a double-decker sandwich as well. So the thing, so I liked it because of the message. And I do, there is something, I guess, I was going to talk about what I respond to in music. It's a keening tone, a sad tone, and so that's why I like this song.
The song is Gotta Serve Somebody from Bob Dylan's 1979 album Slow Train Comin'.
You may be an ambassador to England or France. You may like to gamble. You might like to dance. You may be the heavyweight champion of the world. You may be a socialite with a long string of pearls. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed, you're gonna have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Maybe a rock and roll addict dancing on the stage. Money, drugs at your command, women in a cage. You may be a businessman or some high degree thief. They may call you doctor or they may call you chief.
That is Bob Dylan's Gotta Serve Somebody from his 1979 album Slow Train Comin'. Bob Menkoff, not picking the hits, going deep cuts on his pick three
I wouldn't
playlist.
Know a hit if it bit me on the butt.
You know, now Bob has already told us that he doesn't like music, that he has terrible taste in music, and as if to prove your point, while we were listening to that, Katie in the control room was doing a little research. The readers of Rolling Stone magazine in 2013 voted that song, Gotta Serve Somebody, as the second worst song that Bob Dylan ever made.
Yes! Yes, proving my point. Well, you know, but that's very valuable. You know, if you have good taste and you know what hits are, but if you have terrible taste like me and you know what flops are, that's just as valuable. Really, I didn't realize I could go into a whole thing. That's interesting.
Well, now, questions of taste become, very much a part of The New Yorker,
right,
of cartooning. You have a whole chapter on the Seinfeld episode Elaine doesn't understand the cartoon and finally gets the cartoon editor, whose name is sort of a variant on yours.
Right, Elinoff. They just got the last three letters.
To admit that he doesn't know.
I don't know. He says, I like the kitty. And there's in the chapter, really, I talk about the kernel of truth and all that. And that, sometimes you do like the kitty. I mean, if George Bruce draws a kitty, you like the kitty. So cartooning is a package deal. I talk in the book as there are people who are hands and the people who are heads. So in a head cartoon, it's all about the idea. Anything about the drawing, so long as it's serviceable, is a bonus. In the hand cartoon, if it's someone like Booth, or an art or a cartoonist like Oliphant or everything, or Bruce McCall. You want to see the idea is the icing on the cake.
Yeah.
So everything is, it would be like music also in a way, I think, in that, you know, you could say, well, let's take out all the content. Or in Dylan's case, if you would do it. Like Dylan to me is I talk about in the book called Good Bad Drawing. Thurber perfected that. And that somehow being able to be not a very good draftsperson, and yet somehow just hitting the right note. I mean, Roz Chass can draw okay, but we me and Roz have a joke sometimes. We're all of our cartoonists in a bar and say, really, if we had to draw an accurate horse to put a roof over our head, forget it. That's not happening. So the good bad drawing is like, well, it's like Tom Waits. Okay, that's a good bad voice.
Exactly, yes.
That actually is rarer than a good drawer or a good voice.
Well, now this you've reminded me of the question I was going to ask before the Dylan got us sidetracked, which is what you talked about copywriting the phrase, you know, how about never is never good for you, which is the title of Bob Mankoff's new book. Is there copyright on cartoons? And if so, is it with the cartoonist or with the New Yorker? How does that work?
It's actually with the cartoonist. One of the things I founded the Cartoon Bank, the New Yorker license is from the cartoonist. The New Yorker is very, very good that way. But the copyright is for the actual thing, the actual drawing and the thing, that thing. So someone can take the caption. Someone actually might even be able to draw it over. But so I had to actually go to the Copyright Bureau and saying this phrase itself is valuable. Originally, they gave me a lot of trouble. They said, it's too short, it's do this, it's do that. I threw the Yale Book of Quotations at them, not literally, but then they finally acceded to it. So it's a complicated issue, and especially more complicated now in the age of the Internet, in which, you know, previously, okay, you clipped it out of a magazine. No one, you're not using it.
I clipped it out of a magazine. I stuck it on my wall.
I stuck it on my wall. But now people can, you know, take it off of the website. They can put it on their websites. So we do license them. It is a way, actually, you know, on Cartoon Bank on that the cartoonists really supplement their income. You can't prevent everyone. Legitimate institutions and textbooks and newsletters will not, because they end up paying a lot more. But, you know, some people are obviously taking them, but they wouldn't pay anyway, and, you know, sincerest form of flattery.
We're speaking with Bob Mankoff, the cartoon editor these days for The New Yorker and author of the new book, How About Never? Is Never Good for You? My Life in Cartoons. He's sharing a Pick 3 playlist with us on Soundcheck today. And reluctantly, I'll drag you to another song. What do you want to do next?
Well, I think I don't think this audience has really heard the majesty, the beauty, the awesomeness of the 1962 instrumental Telstar, which was the first communication satellite. I was in college at the time that enabled you to watch TV if it was live from Europe or vice versa. And somehow this song became number one song, this very tinny song, which I guess the sound is supposed to sound like it's coming from the satellite itself up there. But I don't even think this was on the Rolling Stone possible chart of songs that they could denigrate.
Well, you know, we here at Soundcheck have a recurring series that we call That Was a Hit. So we may be hearing a little more of this song down the road.
Okay.
But Bob wants us at least to get a taste of it now. The Tornadoes is the name of the band.
Very good.
And the song is called Telstar.
No,
really?
No. I made that up. It's a joke. That's what I do. That song is absolute treacle.
You were in college. Shouldn't you have been like... In 62, shouldn't you have been listening to beat poets and jazz and stuff like that?
It took me a little while to get hip. Yeah, hip. I was a kid from Queens. I definitely was not cool. I definitely was not hip. And, you know, okay, it's 1962, not a beat poet. A little beanie that said 1962, freshman class of 1962 as my parents dropped me off at Syracuse University. 4 years later, you know, I'm doing, you know, I got long hair and a beard and...
Yeah. But 1962, you're listening to the Tornadoes doing Telstar.
Look at the scorn. He couldn't say it without scorn. I literally saw scorn drip from his mouth as he, Telstar.
Well, I was good. You
made Telstar into an epithet, into a curse. That's what's going to be at this station.
I was just
don't tell star me.
Yeah, right.
You know,
I was just going to say you were listening to this, and so was apparently everybody else.
That's
it was the number one song in the country for
the
a moment.
The number one song. Who can figure that? And now it sounds so. You know, it sounds. I was listening. I know I'm absolutely not really interested in music, but I was listening to the Beatles, and I was thinking that this tunefulness is something that you never hear anymore. I mean, you know, whatever it is, even though you don't like it, but that also ran through music at that time. There was this whole strong melodic component.
And you would have instrumentals, you'd have surf guitar and stuff like that.
Yeah, and the other one I might have picked was like Cast Your Fate to the Winds.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah, which is
that's
that
a great song.
Which has that sort of riff that appeals to me.
Yeah.
The fugue things.
Now, you're on your website, your bio, you mentioned that you have a daughter who lives in Bushwick, and I'll quote you here, with all the other cool kids trying to figure out what to do with an expensive liberal arts education. So your daughter lives in Bushwick, which is now like hipster central.
Right, absolutely, Brooklyn. Yeah.
She doesn't bring you music and try and get you a little more involved?
Well, you know, I'm just too far gone. two things, two music and food. For example, people will say...
Wait a minute, you don't like food either?
Well, let me put it this. So I was I was on the book tour, like in Washington, and I was eating something. Okay. And the woman and her husband said, "Is that good?" I said, "I wouldn't know." Another way is to say this is, nothing tastes better to me than pizza. Nothing really tastes better. You know what I mean?
That's fine.
Nothing tastes better to me.
Yeah.
So whenever I'm going into restaurants now, people are getting very creative. Whatever you order, you've actually never seen that thing before in that way. So pizza tastes great, pastrami tastes great, a cheese omelet tastes great, and all the other stuff actually that I go to restaurants eat is a little worse.
But if you put it on a pizza.
If you put it on a pizza. Well, now they put everything on a pizza. Now they put everything on. In fact, my book is appearing on a pizza.
The book is called How About Never? Is Never Good For You? My Life in Cartoons by Bob Mankoff, the cartoon editor of The New Yorker. He has terrible taste in music. He has terrible taste in food, but he knows from funny.
I know from funny. So I'm trying to just focus and prioritize.
Your third song in your pick three, Leonard Cohen.
This is a good song. This song relates to me sort of like the Dylan song in a way. You know, everybody knows that the dice are loaded. Everybody knows whatever that is. It's trying to get to a gritty reality about life. And it's an exaggeration, but, you know, Flash Boys is all about this, really. Everybody knows that the game is somewhat rigged. And here it is. That's another... He is a good, bad singer.
Right.
So maybe that's what I like.
Bob Mankoff, the cartoon editor for The New Yorker and author of the new book, How About Never? Is Never Good For You? My Life in Cartoons. Bob, this has been a lot of fun. Thank you so much.
It's been a lot of fun for me. And now if I go to any other show, I know the three songs I can...
that you can take along.
Right.
Everybody knows that the dice are loaded. Everybody rolls with fingers crossed. Everybody knows the war is over. Everybody knows the good guys lost. Everybody knows the fight was fixed. The poor stay poor, the rich get rich. That's how it goes. everybody knows. Everybody knows that the boat is leaking. Everybody knows the captain lied. Everybody got this broken feeling, like their father or their dog just died. Everybody talking to their pockets. Everybody wants a box of chocolates and a long stem rose. Everybody knows. Everybody knows that you love me, baby. Everybody knows that you really do. Everybody knows that you've been faithful. Everybody knows you've been discreet, but there were so many people you just had to meet without your clothes. And everybody knows. Everybody knows. Everybody knows. That's how it goes. Everybody knows that's how it goes. Everybody knows.